We live in an age of anxiety. There's a pandemic, there's a war, there's an economic crisis. There seems to be at the moment an acceleration of history, and it is rightly frightening. A researcher named David Kinnaman wrote, "Anxiety blankets our society and our lives like a thick, wet, bone-chilling fog." In late 2019, my research company launched a global study, and we found that one of the central aspects of the experience of young adults around the world is anxiety. And that was before the coronavirus pandemic. I don't think that it's any news to you that people around us are often anxious, and not just young adults. All ages. But Jesus Christ preached his message in the same world. He lived in a time of anxiety, just like ours. In fact, there's a great deal of commonality between the time of Christ, around 30 AD, and now. For a start, it was a time of terrible disease that was very publicly visible and very scary. And that was without penicillin and hospitals. Did you know that the time of Christ was an economic crisis? It was a time when inflation was absolutely out of control. Prices were going up. Unscrupulous businesses were gouging the market, selling things for whatever they could. Landowners were putting up the rates of rental. Interest rates, which Jesus talks about, by the way, Jesus actually talked about interest rates. They were going up in an unfair way. There was such an economic crisis at the time of Christ that he used it in his parables. So many of his parables are about the economic crisis and money going on. So it was a time of anxiety. On top of all of that, there was wars, and there was a foreign power that had taken their land. And another similarity between then and now, there were terrible, far worse than we can imagine now, restrictions. Restrictions on all sorts of things, which were imposed by who? The Romans. So when Jesus Christ was preaching, it was an age of anxiety, much like ours now. It was a time of accelerating crisis in history, and they thought that their society was about to crash. They thought that their society was about to end, and they were right. It ended in roughly 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus died and rose. That was pretty much the end of Israel. It crashed. So Jesus spoke in an age of anxiety when people were pretty frightened. And what I find fascinating about that is that he walked and talked and loved and ate and shared and celebrated with people despite that. And in our story today, Jesus is going to visit an anxious house. What's that house? Very good. Mary and Martha are about to get a visit from the most non-anxious calm. The Prince of Peace is going to visit their home. And funnily enough, Martha is very anxious about this, isn't she? She is going crazy, doing so much stuff. She's cooking and cleaning and preparing. And you know the story very well. I'm not going to go through it all. But she's so anxious and busy that she doesn't even talk to her guest, which is a bit of a mistake, don't you think? And when she finally does talk to her guest, she ends up probably yelling at him. She storms in and says, "Don't you care?" That they are her opening words to her guest, the Prince of Peace. "Don't you care that I'm doing all the work?" And then she does something very unhealthy, by the way. She triangulates. Do you know what that is? Yep. When I have a problem with Jackie And I go, Lois, would you tell Jackie that she's out of line? I don't have the guts. That's triangulating when I should speak to the second person, Jackie, but I bring in a third person. So Martha triangulates. She says, Lord, tell her. Does Jesus follow her request? And then Jesus speaks these words. Would you say them out loud with me? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and distracted about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is good, and it won't be taken from her. Now, I've studied this text 100 times. I've read it in the ancient Greek many times. I have actually presented this text. I've presented it at conferences a number of times to strangers. And so I've been recovering from COVID and really, really wrecked. And I read this text thinking, I won't preach on that one. And I noticed this one word. I've studied this text in the ancient language dozens of times, and one word whacked me between the eyes. Anxious. I've studied this text from every angle you can imagine, and that word hit me. I suddenly realized how relevant this is to right now, because I was fretting a bit when I was sick at times. I didn't know whether it was going uphill or downhill a couple of times. Martha, Martha, you are anxious. And the word for anxious here, it's merimnao. And this word is an interesting little word because this word has degrees. It kind of has a cycle. Merimnao can start as care. It's a nice, good thing. You know, you can care for someone's welfare, someone's needs. Care for your body. Care for the environment, whatever it might be. A good thing, right? But this ancient biblical word has a cycle. Care becomes concern, which is still fairly good. Concern becomes worry, which isn't so good. And worry becomes anxiety. And this word shows a depth that I'm going to explore in the next few weeks. But Martha is concerned with good things, people's well-being, their food, yeah, hospitality. But something has gone wrong because now what could have been care has led her to a place where she ignores her guest entirely. And then when she does speak to her guest, she tells him off and then she triangulates. She's now not just being caring, she's frantic. She's anxious. And in this story, I noticed Jesus does something with an anxious person in an anxious culture that is very caring and very daring and very important. And it might be the first thing that we need to do when we are scared, worried, frightened, anxious. Do you see what the first thing Jesus actually does to her is? He names it. The first thing Jesus does is name the problem. And the problem's not what Martha thinks it is. She thinks it's the cooking that needs to be done and her relationship with her sister and all this stuff. She's got all these ideas about what the problem is. But Jesus starts by naming the thing. Martha, Martha, you are anxious. I have a friend who has a brain tumour and I love him dearly. He decided to name his brain tumour. He named it Terry. Terry the terrible tumour. And my friend Carl is not at all afraid of speaking of that terrible, terrible thing. In fact, he and I often joke about Terry. How's Terry going? How are you going with Terry? It gives us a shorthand. He named it. And this is what Jesus does. He doesn't avoid it. You know, sometimes when someone we love has died, we don't name them. But to be able to grow through grief and to deal with the problem, we have to name it. So first thing Jesus does is he names it. In my son's favourite kids' movies and stories, there's a character they call He Who Must Not Be Named. You know who that is. There's a character. It's a horrible, evil nemesis. It's a terrible, evil power. And they call the character He Who Must Not Be Named. Until finally comes along a kid who just says the evil guy's name. Do you know the stories? Yeah. The kid's name is Harry Potter. And by the way, the author of that book, for those who have read that series, is copying the story of Jesus because she has a hero who is weak and who dies to save everyone. Right there. But when the evil guy is named, he has less power. And so I think the first thing about when we are anxious or worried or fearful or troubled is to name it, to not be embarrassed to say, I'm scared, or I'm worried, or I'm afraid. Now, for a long time, I was growing anxious. I was surrounded by anxious people. I was leading a large-ish church, and I was always in the spotlight, and I felt like I was always in the crosshairs. Perhaps I wasn't. Perhaps I was just growing anxious. I went to see a good Christian counsellor, and I talked about all the problems. Oh, you know, every church has some people that give you trouble, and I talked about what's wrong with the Lutheran Church of Australia and this and that. But I was too proud to say, I'm anxious, I'm reacting poorly to what's going on inside. Instead, like Martha, I was thinking about the pots and the pans and the stuff that needs to be done and all the work. And so Jesus met me one day and he just said, you're anxious. This is the first thing. There is nothing wrong with admitting that you're struggling. I dare say Jesus struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't you think? And this is an important biblical principle. We can't heal or grow unless we can name the thing. Now, to be sure, right now in the world, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. There's a lot of scary things. And we can talk about them, but also many of us find ourselves reacting poorly because we're not admitting that it's frightened us. And so we see people yelling at checkout chicks and arguing over car parks and doing all sorts of angry, silly, crazy things. Have you seen it? Oh, it only happens in Maroochydore, certainly not in Mulaney. Just joking. But if only people would stop and let Jesus name it. In 1933, another time of anxiety for the world, the Great Depression, the Nazis were on the rise in Germany, terrible agricultural crisis, long lines, and the president, Franklin Roosevelt, said something incredible. The only thing we have to fear is?
Fear itself.
That's it. And I think what Roosevelt was getting at was, if we start to let ourselves be driven by anxiety or fear, then we really go wrong. So, the first thing I simply want to point out in dealing with our anxiety or our fears or our worries is name it. It's okay to admit that you're a human. God loves humans. What next? Jesus names it. But there's a bit more he does with this, and this is my favourite bit. Jesus names it and lets it be for a moment. This is what I would suggest to you if you, like me, find yourself struggling at some point with anxiety, is name it and let it be for a moment. There's this beautiful story about Martin Luther. No one knows if it's true. But he was sleeping one night and he woke up in the middle of the night and there he saw, standing before his bed, the King of Darkness, the Lord of Hell, Satan himself in all his glory and power. Satan standing at Martin Luther's bed, ready to gobble him up and grind him up and cast him into the bottom of hell. Do you know what Luther did? He looked up and he said, "Oh, Satan, it's just you," and rolled over and went back to sleep. When we are confronted by Satan, we don't challenge Satan. We don't rant at Satan. We don't yell at Satan. We don't fight Satan. Jesus has already beaten him. We don't need to do any of that. We literally can say, "Oh, Satan, it's just you. I'll let you be." We don't need to do that fighting. And when it comes to anxiety, we need to know that God's in control. And anxiety will only grow if you focus on it and you try and fight it, you try and beat it, you try and lessen it, you try and reason against it. Have you done that? Does it work? No. It makes it grow. It's a bit like the book The Cat in the Hat and the pink stain. And the more they deal with the pink stain, the more it grows. This is what anxiety does. And so Jesus does this beautiful thing with Martha. He names it and he says, "Come and sit with me. Let all that be for a moment. You don't have to be in the kitchen. I want you with me, Martha." He literally names the thing and says, "Let all that be. Mary has chosen to sit with me. You're welcome here too." I realise that this is actually the pattern that Jesus uses a number of times when he speaks about anxiety. He suggests that we don't need to fight. Name it and then just back off. "Yeah, I'm feeling anxious. I'm just going to let that be for a moment. I'm going to let the anxiousness happen. It's okay." Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life." Don't be anxious about your life. And then you get a sentence that looks like an anxious person worrying, you know? "What will I eat? What will I drink? What about my body? What will I put on?" He says, "Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air." We read this as an illustration, and that is what it is. Look at the birds of the air. But what if we just took it literally? What if we took the words of Jesus right on face value? He says, "Don't be anxious. Here it is. I'm naming anxious." He says, "Let's let that be and just look at the birds." And I said that this morning in Nambour, and John Lutze, the chairperson there, said he spent much of the rest of the sermon watching a magpie out the window. Jesus literally says, "You're anxious? Admit it. Now, just look over here. Look at this beautiful thing that's happening. Let that be for a bit. Look at this." Maybe Christians should start up birdwatching clubs. And he says the same thing in a different way again. "And why are you anxious about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow." In other words, you're anxious? See. Look at this. Look at the flowers. What if we took him literally and said, "Okay, I'm naming it. I'm anxious. I'll let that be. Look at these flowers. They are beautiful. Well done." Was it Beryl?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful Beryl. Indeed. So, let me finish this. The first thing, and I have many important things to say about what the New Testament says about anxiety, but the first thing I would suggest to you today is when you're fretting, when you're troubled, when you're fearful, when you're worried, when you're anxious, don't condemn yourself for being human. This is who we are. Name it before God and let it be. And the other thing I want to say is simply this. When we are anxious, Jesus is with us. Notice how he spoke to Martha, by the way. He says, "Martha, Martha." In that culture, to say someone's name twice like that, it's intimacy, it's friendship, it's acceptance. It's like my son, I'll say to him, "Benny, Benny," and he knows he's loved. He says, "Martha, Martha, I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not assessing you. I'm just telling you what I see. You're anxious. Come and sit with me." He accepts her for who she is, and he's with her. He's with her in her anxiety. So as I finish, I just want to say Jesus is with you. If Jesus can go to the cross, he's with you. If Jesus can descend to hell, he's with you. If Jesus can say, this is my body, this is my blood, he is with you even when you are anxious. And Jesus says, anxious people, I am with you always. Let's read this one out loud together as the finish. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.